Tigers, as Ernie would say, kicking up the heels. What are they, in the third right now? Bottom three?
Bottom three.
No, on Greg? Not yet, not quite yet. We'll do it after the sports wrap there, EP. Gregory Kelser is coming up in the 8 o'clock hour after sports wrap time. So the Tigers have scored. They're on the board. And do we have a final yet? Boy, everything's happening. Got a final yet there on that soccer thing? I think it's done. Yeah, 2-1 final. USA, USA. Come on, Gary, give it up to Team USA. They just won. They weren't supposed to win anything, right? Did I hear that?
I had them losing.
Who's that? Is that Chris? Chris is going. He's going nuts. He's in the thing. Nick Deere, I think, raised his eyebrow. That means he's going crazy. You know, he goes, well, I'll tell you what, you got to, that guy, it's like you got to put clampers on the dude. It's like we got to handcuff him to the thing, to the TriCaster.
He's going crazy.
He goes nuts. So Team USA has won. Gary, one more time. What are you doing? We need something more enthusiastic, I think.
There you go.
We'll have that the box score for you in the sports wrap, and the Tigers are up 1-0 in the third. So, Johnny, you ready for a big 8 o'clock hour?
Yes, I am.
It's going to feature a little Gregory Special K Kelser next. And by the way, for Tommy, you called about the whole Greg Monroe thingy deal. The deal on Greg Monroe is, you know, he's from New Orleans. He's from Gretna, Louisiana, which is just, I think, on the other side of the Mississippi near the Algiers. He went to Helen Cox High School. John, what do you know about Helen Cox High School? Anything?
The name, Helen Cox High School.
It's Helen Cox High School. I don't know anything either. I just know that he loves the area. He was just back for his foundation. He loves going back home to New Orleans, and I think he would like being a Pelican. The problem is, the Pistons can match any offer that's given to him, so it would have to be a sign-and-trade deal. And if you can go look at the roster yourself and say to yourself, is there anybody really on New Orleans you got to have?
No.
So give me the picks and make it happen. I'm good. I've seen the act with Greg Monroe. The old line, right? I finished last with you, I can finish last without you. And I'll take a shot at it. And you know what? Van Gundy didn't get here to say that everything's fine either.
No.
All right. Next up, Gregory Kelser. We're going to talk a little business about his camp and do a little biz as well on the end to the NBA Finals. Or NBA Final. Like they call the Stanley Cup Final, not Finals. Stanley Cup Final. It's next. John Davis is in for Rob on Sports Night with Parker the Man. 8 o'clock hour, Detroit's 11:30, WDFM the Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man, Detroit's number one late, live, local sports show.
Oh, it's so good.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 11:30, WDFM the Fan.
All right, we got a sports wrap. We got a lot to do. Gregory Kelser is coming up. You can be a part of it as well. John Davis is in for Rob. We're enjoying Luigi's Pizza Cafe on Plymouth Road in Livonia. How are you enjoying? And Rob and John is modeling it as we speak. But let's do this. It's a sports wrap brought to you by Sporty Cuts, 7 Mile and Outer Drive. Go get a haircut. John, go get a haircut.
You don't need one.
You don't need one. You need a haircut?
Get lined up.
Criminy. I can't tell what you need a haircut. Let it grow. Throw one of them big dealios.
Ben Wallace, bro.
Tigers got a run. Got a run in the third. So Justin Verlander is motoring along in the fourth inning now. It's 1-0 Tigers over the Royals as we stand. The Tigers got their run off Jason Vargas. Somebody scored. I think it was B-Mark. I'm not sure. I'll check it again for you. But 1-0 is the score at Comerica. Start of the four-game set with Kansas City. John Davis will have it for you. John, who scored the run for the Tigers? Local scores first, Sports Night with Parker the Man, presented by Sporty Cuts. Dude, I think this is a big to-do. World Cup action in Brazil. Team USA is a winner. Like their own coach doesn't think they win anything, but they beat Ghana today to get them to score the run. Are you still looking?
Still looking.
2-1 is the final. Clint Dempsey scored 33 seconds in, and then John Brooks. I went to college with a guy named John Brooks. I was the same guy. Now he'd be as old. 86th minute. And that was it. Ghana got one goal, and they couldn't get a second one to tie the thing. So Team USA gets 3 points, and they'll play again Sunday. Now, they're tied in their thing, their class, their dilly deal, with Germany, who blew out Portugal 4-0 today on the hat-trick by Thomas Müller. And now when Team USA plays Portugal on Sunday, no Pepe for Portugal because he was suspended due to a red card headbutt on Müller himself.
Mm.
That's fascinating stuff, man. So there you go.
A little red card action.
We could be on our way here. Go USA. Iran and Nigeria played to the 0-0 tie, the first draw of the tournament. They each get a point. Other baseball American League, these are all third inning scores now. Angels and Indians 2-2. Twins Red Sox nothing. Still no score. Rays over the Orioles 1-0 on the Escobar homer. Texas and Oakland go at 10:05 tonight. One interleague game at 10:10. It's the Padres and Mariners in Seattle at Safeco. National League, Phillies over the Braves 1-0. Marlins over the Cubs now 3-0. Mets Cardinals just about to go at the new Bush. And the Brewers D-backs in Phoenix at 9:40. Rockies and Dodgers at 10:10. First team out of the College World Series is Louisville. They were beaten by Texas today. I think 4-1 was the final. And out of the eight teams, the Louisville Cards are the first one out. Texas was on the verge because of the eight teams in the tournament, in the College World Series tournament, only Texas has won a past College World Series. If Texas is eliminated, we'd have a brand new first-time champion in College World Series play, but that will not be the case. And that is your sports wrap, brought to you by Sporty Cuts.
And Alex Avila scored that Tiger run, Alex, double by Rajai Davis.
So Rajai Davis doubled in Avila, and that's where it stands. 1-0 right now, top four, man on base for Kansas City, and two outs against Justin Verlander. So the two JVs, Jason Vargas and Justin Verlander. All right, let's bring him in. 8 o'clock hour, perfect time for him. You know him, you love him. This guy, you really can't live without him, as I said. And it's none other than a guy I've known for, I will not say it anymore because I used to tease him with how long we've known. I won't do it anymore.
A few decades.
No, I'm just going to say we've known each other a few days now because it seems like we make us younger. It's Gregory Special K. Kelser. Of course, you know him with the Pistons on Fox Sports Detroit. And he's got the big camp coming up. Hi, Gregory.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. And, of course, you're right now not only on with us on Detroit's 1130, but also we're streaming at parkerandtheman.com. I want to tell everybody you can watch us do the show, parkerandtheman.com or premiersportstalknetwork.com. So, Gregory, now that you're on, you're going to get radio time, a little TV time. You got Twitter time. You got Facebook time. Welcome to 2014.
Hey, I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get to the camp, and Gregory, I'll just say this right now. I want you guys, get your kids or listen up because we're going to give you camp information that's very valuable. Of all the camps that I've seen plenty over the years. Gregory, if not the best, is in the top two. So this is you're going to learn a lot. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, before I bust a gut on this thing, I asked John Davis, who's in for Rob tonight, this question. I'll ask the same thing to you. Come September 29th, which I believe will be first practice day for the Pistons and everybody else, Greg, where do you see the tropical trio? Where do you see LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh? What does your gut tell you as to where they are when the next season hits?
I think my gut tells me that, you know, I'm probably leaning a shade over 50% that one of them might not be there.
That's what John said.
Two of them might not be there because I think that after four trips to the NBA final, which is almost the equivalent of five seasons now, and you're starting to see some of the breakdown, I think that Miami might be in a position now feeling that they need to restock, reload, and rebuild. And I don't know that LeBron James, if that is the case, wants to be, would want to be a part of that. I think that he sees himself now as a perennial championship contender, and he's had a taste of it. So, you know, going back to a team that's not the caliber of a finals-worthy team might not be too enticing to him. So, you know, hats off to the Miami Heat. Again, I don't know. This is all speculation, but I say the experiment has been successful. Four straight trips since they signed the big three, all of them, brought them together, and two championships. Anybody would take that.
Gregory, are you more inclined to say that the Miami Heat collapsed or that Pop and Duncan and Ginobili and Parker did an incredible thing by winning in five?
They got to be a better team. And emphasis on the word team. I love the way San Antonio plays basketball. I've been saying that for a number of years. You know, if there was one team, you know, concept that I'd want to embrace, it would be theirs. One where everybody, if you're on the floor, you're a threat. You know, and the ball moves. People move. And that's the way I grew up watching basketball, enjoying and learning basketball. It's a team game. And if you play it, you know, unselfishly, then everybody gets involved. And it makes it difficult to key on any one guy. And that's what we saw with the Spurs. And that was a little too much for us. And, I mean, you know, it made their bench deep. again, guys coming off the bench playing significant roles, and it made them very difficult to defend, awfully tough to defend. And even a team like the Miami Heat, a two-time defending champion like the Miami Heat, could not overcome it.
Do you think Popovich is kind of an enigma in a way, Gregory, because obviously he's not the fan-friendly guy. You know, Doris Burke even had to, like, tell a story about she was moved to tears once Popovich did it to her. And even in the postgame yesterday, you thought, if you didn't know it, you'd think he lost the NBA Finals rather than win it. But yet he is this – he and R.C. Buford have found a way to parlay this thing into a decade and a half. Who does that?
It really is amazing when you think about it. I mean, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, they were playing the Pistons, and, you know, they had not missed a beat. You know, they were playing the Pistons for the championship. It was a great series. San Antonio won, and here they are, you know, winning again 9 years later. You know, they've got one in between that. You know, they beat LeBron when he was with Cleveland. So, you know, you really have to take tip your hat to the job that they have done, how they've managed to stay relevant. They've managed to contend every year, whether they win it or not, contend every year, be a factor. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the stability that they've had, the consistency they've had with, you know, Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker and all those guys playing, you know, as young guys and through their primes and then just augmenting them with players that complimented them. It's really a remarkable story, to say the least.
You know, Greg Pop said it himself. He still called LeBron the best player on the planet. That was his quote last night in the postgame. After he wins a series over them in five games, and, of course, after the disappointment of the previous year. Best player on the planet. If he's the best player on the planet, what planet do I need to put Tim Duncan on?
Well, Tim Duncan is part of the best team on the planet. He makes them the best team on the planet. But that's, you know, again, that emphasizes how basketball is truly a team game. I mean, before Michael Jordan started winning his six championships, they were saying the same thing about him, best player on the planet. But, you know, Boston was a better team. The Pistons were a better team. You know, some of those teams that they were losing to were better teams. Clearly, the better team will always beat the best player. We've seen that time and again, especially in the NBA.
Greg, you know, you talked about the Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. They are special players because there are other teams in the NBA that run the sets that San Antonio runs. But when you have probably one of the three best point guards in the league, when you have the best power forward in NBA history, when you have one of the best six men in NBA history, that proves that it is the players. You got to have special players to do what San Antonio has done since, you know, 1999.
Special players, special coach, special system.
Yeah.
And players who all buy into it. And, you know, again, I just cannot say it enough about, you know, how well they play together and how, you know, player number 10, when he comes in, he is expected to do, you know, a job out there and be a factor, be a threat. This all comes as a result of, you know, a great selflessness that they all seem to embrace. I really enjoy watching the Spurs play basketball, and I was pulling for them. I wanted them to win the championship. And I'll say this, what a study in perseverance, because you know, a lot of teams would not have been able to come back from last year's disappointment, losing, blowing the series, if you will, to Miami.
Right.
And then having to wait a whole year in order to get a chance at atonement. But they did that. They stayed focused. And that, to me, speaks just immensely about them and their character and the belief in themselves as champions. Because you never guaranteed an opportunity to get a second chance. And they got it. And they took advantage of it.
Well, 35 years ago, the guy on the phone led his college basketball team. He didn't have any help to a national title. You know, he had a bunch of guys. You know, they wrapped him around Greg Kelser, and somehow, you know, that was easy pickings against Indiana State and a guy named Larry Bird. I think you and Terry Donnelly kind of led the way. I don't know who the other guy was there, but not being funny. That was 35 years ago, Gregory, and I can't believe it was. And I know that we've had a couple of celebrations on the 35th anniversary of the Spartans, you and Irvin and everybody else winning the national championship. Has it been a kind of a weird year with that? And how many have you actually had to do? Anything like that?
Well, this year, ironically, we did not get together as a group. It's the first time, in one of the more commemorative years that we haven't. We had a 20-year, we had a 10-year reunion in East Lansing. We had a 20.
I mean, 35 is not the most incredible number. I mean, it's 40 will be a big one.
Yeah, but the only thing is, you know, as guys, as we all get a little bit older, and our coach is 87.
That's true. That's true.
You feel like, you know, maybe 10 years apart is too long, but we did have a 25, a 30, and a 25 and a 30. So we were doing it every 5 years, but, you know, there's a good chance that we may do something on our own. The school has hosted us many times, and Tom Izzo has been the catalyst for that. But you know what? We remain close. Time passes, but the significance of our achievement will never diminish. It binds us forever.
No, I know, and it's something. It's still the greatest thing. You know, 2000 was a terrific year too. We were all at the RCA Dome and Indianapolis and celebrated that, but your first is your prize baby, and that will always rank up there, as we know, you and Irvin and everybody else. But before we get to the camp, again, we're talking with Gregory Kelsey, you know him, Fox Sports Detroit, Pistons analyst, long time, of course, there, and Spartan great, just an absolute terrific guy and player in his own right. Stan Van Gundy, I haven't asked you yet. Now that you've had a chance to see it shake out, he's brought his staff on. Brendan Malone is a part of that. He's brought Jeff Bauer in to be his kind of clerical general manager with probably an eye towards, a guy was a GM with the Pelicans, so if anybody's going to move Greg Monroe to New Orleans, it would be him. he certainly knows the people. What do you think so far of what you see out of the SVG regime?
Well, the first thing I see, and I knew it, the minute they hired Stan Van Gundy, yeah, we all know he can coach. He can coach basketball. He's done that. He's got a nice track record in the NBA. But the thing we also know is that he is all about, being responsible, being accountable, and not making a whole lot of excuses. And I think the discipline that he'll bring is something that this young ball club sorely needs. It's been loose. It's been a little ragtag at times over the last few years, but we've had coaches who really didn't have the necessary power in order to be able to enforce their philosophy. And I think now with Stan Van Gundy wearing both hats, that of the team president as well as the team head coach, that gives him a level of power now that will allow him to be more demanding and less tolerant of garbage.
Absolutely. No, you can use the word. No, hey, Greg, it's been 6 years. You know what? All bets are off. And even a guy who called already on the show tonight about the Greg Monroe possibility going to New Orleans in a sign and trade. Would you expect at least one? I mean, Andre Drummond to me is untouchable, but outside of Drummond, would you expect one, two, or maybe even more of those guys to not return when the season starts?
I think there are going to be some changes. I have no idea which, changes will be made, but I will say this. During his press conference at his signing, Stan Van Gundy spoke often and positively about Greg Monroe.
Yeah, he did bring him up by name, right? Yeah.
He brought him up by name several times. I think he likes him. And so I think that, part of his challenge and part of his plan is to try and keep Greg Monroe in the mix. And I like Greg Monroe. I personally would like to see him remain a Piston. But, money will speak. And Greg will probably, he'll have to see himself as part of Stan Van Gundy's plan and philosophy in order for, him to really want to stay here. I hope that happens. So I like him. I like him as a player.
All right, Greg, you got a bunch of camps. Here's the deal. I'm telling you, and this is simple. If you go to GregoryKelser.com, you'll see everything you need to know. But, Greg, talk about, first of all, when they are. They're coming up, I believe, in July, and you have, what, three different camp possibilities?
Yes, here are the dates. All these camps will start in July. July 7th to 11th, we're at Southfield High School. The next week, 14th through 18th, July, we are at Grosse Pointe North. We'll take a week off, and then we'll go to West Bloomfield High School, July 28th to August 1st. These camps are for boys and girls ages 7 to 17. And let me just say this. The thing that I take a great deal of pride in the camps that I run. I've been doing it for over 30 years in the metropolitan Detroit area.
30 years already.
Yeah. And we I'm there every day, and You know, the one thing that we do at our campsite, they're heavy on basketball, fundamental instruction. You learn the various facets of the game. And we give the kids an opportunity to play games every day. But the one thing that I have done and we continue to do is we make the kids a little bit more responsible in terms of they must understand that basketball is just, you know, it's not a necessity. You know, it's something we do for fun. And hopefully, if you're very, very fortunate, one of the fortunate few, you may get a chance to take it to a higher level. But education is essential, and you have to have it. So every day we talk about that. We put them in a little classroom setting. We give them a little homework, nothing hard, nothing major, but just, you know, to emphasize how important it is to exercise your mind all summer, not just, you know, during the school months, but all summer long, keep that mind sharp, and that education and athletics can coexist. They have to. So we talk about that every single day, and we have a great deal of fun with the boys and girls. And you know, I'm just hopeful that folks, if they want to send their kids to a, in my mind, a really balanced basketball camp of education and athletics, academics and athletics, and the Gregory Kelsa basketball camps are where you want to go. And you can find all the information out, as you indicated, at gregorykelsa.com. You can register there. And the telephone number, if you have more questions, is 248-981-0498.
That number again, Mr. Kelsa?
248-981-0498, or go to gregorykelsa.com. Not Greg, gregorykelsa.com.
How many times have I had to say to people, please, and look, John right now is actually, he's showing it on camera. He's got your website up. I have it up, too, on my Google. I've told people ad nauseum, it's not Greg Kelsa, it's Gregory. If you want to throw in a Greg every now and then, I do it, too. I said, you'll actually honor him more by just calling him Special K. But that's. But I love the website, too, because you also have, and I'm going to recommend this as well, Tales from Michigan State Basketball. It's a great picture on the front. It's you and Irvin in a road uniform, a Michigan State road uniform, with Irvin with his arm around his breadwinner, his moneymaker.
You know that picture is from the Notre Dame game, the regional final, the game that put us into the Final Four in 1979. We were just putting the finishing touches on Notre Dame, and we knew we were heading to Salt Lake City for the Final Four. And that picture on the front of my book, on the cover of my book, is from that game.
Isn't that something? Because it could have been from any road game, I suppose, that year. But it was Notre Dame, which gets you into the Final Four against Penn, and you blew out Penn. And then, of course, everybody knows what happened when you beat Indiana State and Larry Bird. It changed the NBA forever, too. Changed college basketball, yeah. And it changed the NBA. It changed two separate basketball entities, if you think back
thank
on
goodness
it,
Gregory. Thank goodness for Larry Bird and Irvin Magic Johnson.
No, and Gregory Kelsa, the star of that 1979 team. I hate when you do that. You give too much credit to 33.
Well, he was an amazing player. In fact, both guys were.
Well, Greg, I know we've done this with your camp for years. Whenever I have a show or whenever I love doing it, and I just can't believe it's been 30 years. Just real quick, what's the best thing that you get out of it? I know you love the kids, and you love seeing people come back to you years later. And I've had people come to me and tell me, hey, I went to the camp because I heard it on the show or whatever and said it was just an outstanding camp. What's your best memory that you would take out of 30 years of the camp?
Well, here's the thing. I did my very first basketball camp in the summer of 1978. I was in between my junior and senior year at Michigan State. So really, it's been, 36 years now since I've been running basketball.
I was going to try to make it so it wasn't so bad.
But here's the thing that I really love. I love it when someone comes up to me many years later and they say, hey, I attended your basketball camp, and while there, you said da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it made a difference. I remember it. It stuck with me. I enjoy that. And here's the thing. I get that now from people who are, you know, 49, 50 years old. And I'm like, what? But then I think about it. When I did my first camp,
right.
I was 20 years old.
Right.
So there were kids that were 15 years old at that camp. I'm just 5 years older than they are. So, yeah, it would stand to reason that someone 50 now attended one of my basketball camps. I know I'm dating myself, but I love it when that happens.
Wow.
Because the lessons go beyond, you know, that week that they spend with us.
Hey, Greg, one more time, even though you can go to Gregory Kelsa, that's G-R-E-G-O-R-Y, Kelsa.com,
yep.
And see everything. But just tell them again what the dates are, because right now it's coming up. It's June 16th right now.
Yeah, we're not that far away. The first week will be July 7th through 11th at Southfield High School. And the camps are 9 to 3 every day, 9 to 3 for the whole week. And then the next week will be July 14 through 18 at Rose Point North. And then the final week will be West Bloomfield High School, July 28th to August 1st. You know, we used to do all the camps on the west side, and we had folks driving long distances to bring their kids. And then one parent once said to me, hey, why don't you do something on the east side? And that's when we got the idea to move it around. So we get a chance to provide, you know, the camp exposure to a lot of different communities.
Well, it's great stuff, and I would just recommend go to one and go to all three. But pick one you like and go onto the website, and you'll see all the details there, and it's very affordable too. Gregory, thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Mark, thank you so very much, and best of luck to you. Continue to do the great work you do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Okay, Gregory Kelser, you know him, you love him. I always use that line mostly for him because he is just a prince of a guy. And look, we got to do this. We got a lot of stuff to do, as we said earlier, and we're already halfway through, John Davis.
And we're just getting started.
We're just getting started. And we're having pizza tonight from Luigi's Pizza Cafe. It's L-U-I-G-I, Luigi's Pizza Cafe on Plymouth Road in Livonia. Check them out at 734-261-0600. Sports Night with Parker and the Man, Detroit's 1130, WDFN the Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
What a pair of loons!
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130, WDFN the Fan.
All right, Justin Verlander's just given up the lead to Kansas City. We'll tell you about that coming up in sports wrap time. But first, it's time for On This Day in 1984, brought to you by the great people at Comerica Bank. June 16th, 1984 was a Saturday, and 50,395 were at County Stadium in Milwaukee to see the middle of the three-game series. Juan Berenguer versus the Brewers, 39-year-old Hall of Famer-to-be Don Sutton. Rupert Jones got to Sutton in the third with a towering two-run homer, his second of the season. In the fourth, Darrell Evans' sack fly made it 3-0. Evans did that 2-2 in the sixth. Doody blasted his fifth homer of the season with Parrish and Gibson on for a 3-run shot to chase Sutton from the game. Now with a 6-0 lead, Berenguer cruised. In the ninth, Robin Yount led off with a single, but Berenguer got Cecil Cooper to pop up to Tom Brookins, Ben Ogilvie to fly out to Gibby, and Ted Simmons to ground out to Alan Trammell. Complete game 5-hitter for Berenguer, who went to 4-4, nice shutout. Sutton fell to 3-7, 6-0 the final. Tigers were back to 30 games over 500 at 46-16, 6 games up in the American League East. 30 years ago today, on the road to the World Series, presented by Comerica Bank. Sports Wrap next.
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
One hint, the worst is yet to come.
Rajay Davis just nailed Billy Butler at the plate on a single, and it was a great throw. It was close. It was a great throw. It was on one bounce. Alex got it. He kind of sideswiped the tag. Looking in slow motion, it looks like, I don't know, it's one of those optical illusion. Did the foot get to the plate before the tag hit the thing? And it's... I think they made the right call. I think he was out. That's a baseball out to me because I couldn't, even on the two slow-mo replays, I didn't get a good game.
There's no evidence to overturn it.
All right, let's get you caught up here. It's time for a sports wrap brought to you by Sporty Cuts, 7 Mile an Outer. You know that. You go to Sporty Cuts, you get yourself a haircut. That's what Rob Parker would tell you, right, John?
Go get a haircut.
Go get a haircut, will you please? As it stands, Justin Verlander's ERA is now at 4.76. It's gone up tonight because he gave a 3-run double to Billy Butler. On a thing I said to John flat out, he never used to give up that ball. Straightaway center field shot by Butler. Normally a guy like Butler would have to pull it on him either or go the opposite way, but not straight over the head of Austin Jackson. Omar Infante is old Tiger buddy. He's got an RBI single too, so it's 4-2. Could be 5-2, but they got the guy at the plate. 4-2 right now, end of number 5. Top of the fifth, we're going to the bottom of the fifth with the Royals up by 2 runs on Justin Verlander, who's only got a couple of strikeouts tonight. He's still trying to find whatever he's got that he's lost because the K numbers are way down. 4-2 Royals right now, bottom 5 at Comerica. Local scores first, Sports Night with Parker the Man, presented by Sporty Cuts. World Cup soccer in Brazil, I think they're dancing in the streets. Hot babes are jumping into fountains. Go check it on YouTube. Don't watch what they do in Italy in those places when they win World Cup games. It's worth watching. Look, even Nick's doing. What was that again? Hold on. Is it Italy, YouTube, okay. 2-1, Team USA beats Ghana. Clint Dempsey, 33 seconds in the first minute, scores for Team USA, then John Brooks in the 86th minute. So USA gets 3 points. I thought we weren't supposed to win nothing around here. They beat Ghana.
Group of death.
It helped that Jurgen Klinsmann stayed here last week to go watch Ghana play it in Miami. Because he must have figured something out, and they got get the win. That's 3 points. Ties him in the division, in the conference, with Germany, who beat Portugal 4-0 on the Thomas Müller hat trick.
That would be a group.
Yeah, it's the conference. It's the big group conference. Portugal got a red card in the game. It was Pepe. He is now suspended for the Americans on Sunday. That game somewhere in Brazil, probably thousands of miles away from anywhere, since today's game was played 1,600 miles away from Sao Paulo. And in the first draw of the tournament, Iran and Nigeria played to the 0-0. That would be your 0-0 tie. Other baseball, American League fourth inning, Indians lead the Angels 4-3. No score still, Twins Red Sox at Fenway in the fifth. Rays over the Orioles 1-0 in the fourth, and the Escobar homer, that's holding up. National League, Phils over the Braves 1-0 fifth on the Ryan Howard homer, that's holding up. Marlins lead the Cubs 3-0 fifth. Mets Cardinals, no score early, and Brewers Diamondbacks go at 9:40. Rockies L.A. at 10:10 at Dodger Stadium. The L.A. Kings celebrated their second Stanley Cup in 3 years with a parade and rally in downtown Los Angeles today. They started at, I believe, 5th and Figueroa and ended up at the Staples Center where they had a good number of people. Not like it would be here if you win the Stanley Cup where a million show up. I think there are like a good 25,000 people decided to come out and look at it, led by Alyssa Milano. And the Spurs will do the same in San Antonio on the Riverwalk for the fifth NBA title in the Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan era, won last night in...
So they'll be on boats.
It might be a little boat action or just be right on the Riverwalk there. It's gorgeous. Have you ever been down to San Antonio, the Riverwalk? Really cool place. I'll give it that. I give them that. PGA Tour back to normal after Martin Keimer's U.S. Open animation domination. It's the Travelers in Cromwell, Connecticut this Thursday at the TPC there, River Highlands. And then the NASCARs are out of Michigan. MIS is done until August. As they head to Sonoma, California for the next race, Jimmy Johnson, first win ever at the Speedway at the 2 Mile Oval in the Irish Hills after 25 tries. And that is your sports wrap presented to you by Sporty Cuts. Well, you heard Gregory Kelser, Brian Blessing coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. John Davis, what did you think about what he had to say about LeBron and what might happen with his career in the next couple of months? Actually, probably the next 2 weeks we'll find out a lot more. And what the Spurs were able to accomplish last night behind Kawhi Leonard, only the sixth to win an MVP in the finals without making an all-star team. The other five were Chauncey Billups in 2004, Joe Dumars in 89, Cedric Cornbread Maxwell in 81.
Cornbread.
The old Cornbread. Wes Unseld in 78 and
right.
Willis Reed in 73. He was only the sixth to do it. I watched Kawhi Leonard play in college. I saw him play at SDSU. In the Mountain West. I won't say I was unimpressed. I was impressed. But not to the level that I thought early on in his career.
He would be
a finals MVP with a team that has
Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili.
That's it. I mean, even Tiago Splitter.
Right.
Danny Green. I am shocked after watching this kid in college. I'm not saying it because I thought he was bad. Not quite the opposite. Played for Steve Fisher at San Diego. Yeah. He was an Aztec. But I saw him on numerous occasions in the Mountain West. I was hanging in Vegas. I saw him. I actually saw him live. You're stunning me to tell me that this kid, this early, was able to do this. And do you hear Popovich last night? We design no plays for Kawhi Leonard.
Zero.
None. Huh?
Unbelievable.
None?
There you go.
You never design a play for the kid at all? No. Never. What if you start doing that? But you tell me what you think.
You know what? It's
well, I enjoy Luigi's Pizza Cafe.
There you go. Luigi's.
Plymouth Road, Livonia.
You know, the whole the hate LeBron people, the haters, as folks would like to call them, this was their redemption. That LeBron didn't get another championship. You know, it was the whole repudiation of the not three, not four, not five, that talk.
No, Rob Parker sticks with that. He called me today. We talked today. He's in California. John's in for him because he's on assignment. And he said, what I got to tell you, he did pick, I believe, did he pick him in five, EP? Did he actually pick this right on? Did he say five? Six? He said
I think he said six. Because I said six.
All his thing was, and I think it's way misguided in my opinion, but I told him that. I said, look, two championships are two championships. I don't know what to tell you. He can't win six until his career's over or until he gets a chance to win six, I guess. So I wouldn't make a big deal about that. So I don't think it's way too much LeBron James for me.
Well, not only that, you know, the whole narrative before the series was over, where are we going to put LeBron on the Mount Rushmore of basketball? And I don't think he's earned that right to be on Mount Rushmore yet.
I don't know.
I don't know about that. Mark, the question is, if you're going to put LeBron, who you take off of Mount Rushmore?
Who's on it? Tell me who's on it. Who's on Mount Rushmore?
Wilt.
No, why should Wilt Chamberlain be on Mount Rushmore? Because he was 7'3"? I've always thought this was also misguided. The Chamberlain factor in the NBA.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I seriously have. I think
Russell?
Russell, of course. He's a champion. He's a champion. How many times did Wilt win two? One in Philly and one in L.A.? He's 7'3". Everybody else was 6'5". I don't know. George Mikan was the first 7-footer.
Okay, so you're going to replace Wilt with...
Well, what are you shaking your head at, EP? There weren't that many 7-footers in the NBA at that point that could play basketball. It was Wilt and it was... he got Mikan? Out when Kareem was coming in.
Mikan?
Yeah, I said George Mikan was like the first 7-footer. Yeah. He won championships. Do you put Mikan on the thing? Why not?
No.
Mikan?
No.
Why? What's wrong with Mikan?
No.
I'm not saying that Chamberlain, just he's not my guy.
Okay, I get that.
I've always dissed Will Chamberlain because he's played a long time.
MJ is on there.
He played on teams that had no other player. The day he scored 100. They lost the damn game.
Yeah.
In Hershey, Pennsylvania. He averaged 50 points in a season. But that's why I'm saying Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double. We don't give him enough credit. I don't think we give that time period and that era as much due anymore because I think we now see what kind of athlete these guys were. They were special people without very special people around them.
That's a good point.
More evident than ever now. When you look back at those teams and you see how much – I'm trying to be careful about my words here – how much non-athleticism was going on in that particular sport prior to about 1980. There was plenty of it. So a one-man marching band could dominate like they did. So today when a guy dominates with physical skill level at about from the 15th guy on the bench to the first guy, physical skill, physical level. Look at the guy that sits 15 on a bench in Miami even to LeBron James, just physicality, and go back and look at the 15th guy on the bench in the Wilt Chamberlain era. That 15th guy probably served you water and turned out the lights when it was over, too. I'm telling you, man. The NBA had no... There were very few specimens back in those days. So I think it's time to reevaluate the Mount Rushmore of the older player. Jerry West will always be a great player. Elgin Baylor will be a great player. Oscar Robertson. The big dudes... Got to tell you, Chamberlain's never been my...
Okay.
I saw the Elo Raider. Do you know where the Elo Raider has him? The Elo Raider is a fan-rated thing on basketballreference.com.
Okay. Yeah.
Look it up. I think Chamberlain's like 89. What? 89.
But that same rating put LeBron James 1.
Yeah, well, that's not... I don't think that's... There's a lot of factors. I don't think he's won over Michael. Michael's still Michael. He's got 6 titles. That's
I mean, he's not even over Kobe.
Well... You could, I don't know. The Kobe situation now, you know, until he got with D-Wade and Bosch, and I'm telling you, the last two seasons of those two guys, I am not impressed with the two-thirds of the tropical trio.
No.
He's kind of a one-man band doing this thing. And I think Dwayne Wade shuts his mouth because he knows it.
Yeah, but the question is, if he makes another decision and goes anywhere.
Well, Savannah likes L.A., see that today? His wife loves L.A. Yeah. Now. All of a sudden, she's all about Los Angeles.
What, the clip joint?
The clip joint. 248-848-1130. Why should he go to the Lakers? Rule the Lakers again. How about LeBron taking that to another level?
Doing and, it getting, my, and go get Kevin Love?
I'm just saying. Doesn't have to be the Clippers. someone could restart up that fire for the Laker thing again. That's what the league wants, too. Brian, you're on Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Hi, Brian.
Hey, fellas. I was looking when they were talking about the Mount Rushmore, and they had, like, Bird, Magic, Sport, and...
I'm not talking about the actual one. I'm talking, Brian, here's what I do. I make up my own crap. I don't look at other people's.
Well, I just figure the Mount Rushmore have to be five, and they have to be the best five in their position. And LeBron is the best small forward to ever play. They always talk about between him and Bird, and I always think of it this way. Larry Bird can't chase Derrick Rose. That's where he ends right there. LeBron James is a very unselfish player. Like, the media have been hounding him for not necessarily the media, but people have been talking about, he lost, he averaged 30, 10, and 5. When you do that, it's somebody else's fault. It's not yours.
I'm with you, Brian, dude. I'm with you. We can walk hand in hand down that lily path.
Well, LeBron James, and people want to just cry and scream that he decided why would you go somewhere else? Listen, just because the GM and the owners don't make the trade don't mean it can't happen. Because didn't nobody say that when Garnett and Pierce and all them got together? That's because Boston did it and not the three players.
Right.
This guy's a very intelligent guy. He don't get in trouble. He's somebody you could look up to. And he's 29 years old, and he's the greatest small forward to ever play.
Well, became the tropical trio with D-Wade and Bosch, I said, look, he's already telling you that some of the blame has to go to these other two.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you how I knew he was great. Although I was crying when he lit us up at the Palace for that 25 straight. When he got that Cleveland team to a championship, that's when I knew he's one of the best forwards to ever play the game. Because nobody else had skill set to get that team to the
finals.
Nobody. I can't think of nobody that could do it.
I got a question.
He could do everything.
I got a question for both of you.
Yes.
How much blame does Pat Riley get?
Why should he get blamed for what?
No blame. Nobody thought that Wade knees would fall out like this. They thought if they gave him the rest, he would come around. It might be that Wade has nothing left because of his knees.
I agree. I think there's nothing left to him, and he's going to have serious soul surgery.
If the owner would have been so cheap and would have kept Mike Miller, things wouldn't have been this bad. But they made those decisions.
Well, look, I don't want to make any excuses for the Heat, Brian. They lost fair and square. But
You know what? You know what, fellas, I don't like is how people try to say San Antonio, they deserve last year's championships. Mark, didn't they miss free throws where they could put an end to that in that game six last year? They missed two free throws.
Right, no, I know.
I know.
World champs.
I know. And they tried.
Like, just because Ray hit a lucky one, y'all should have been champions. If Isaiah wouldn't have hurt his ankle, if Vinny would have busted, we'd have had four championships.
I know.
That's just sports. Take care, fellas.
Thanks, Brian.
Right, thanks.
He's right. That's just sports. You can always find the reason, excuse, whatever the deal is, but you always got to go back to fair and square. You had the same issues. You're right. Some guy could have come up lame. Nobody did. San Antonio kind of had a free pass when it came to health for the most part. I think during the certainly the finals and in most of the playoffs, I would have thought Duncan would have wilted by the time we hit middle June, but it didn't happen. Parker was at his best in the fourth quarter.
But
the last game.
But you look at the amount of minutes they played. You know, I don't think they had a player with over 30 minutes a game all season.
But John, think about it. Maybe the best quarter Tony Parker played in 2013-14 was his last one.
Yeah, I mean, because the first three quarters,
he was a dog. He had 2 points.
He was like, okay, where's Tony?
He's shooting the lights out and playing great defense. When Miami still could have found a way to at least cut it down to something. You know, it was 20 points, then it was down to 16. It was nope, back to 20.
Now, I will admit that I have never seen a player with every move that he makes is so scrutinized as LeBron James.
Well, it's part of the new world we live in. Yeah. That you have to get over. I'm over it. It's a Twitter, Facebook world, and it's Instagram, you know, Tumblr, Pinterest world.
Naming all of them.
I'm naming all. It's that Foursquare. I got them all. I'm okay.
Foursquare.
You know, it's a whatever world. And get over that. We get past that part. At some point, we got to say, oh, no, enough with the, he's too scrutinized. Or this is, I can't believe people, you know, 10 years ago, there wasn't any Facebook and Twitter. So, and okay, well, there is. So that's the way. If you don't, I got a great way to avoid any of it. Sleep in late. Don't turn your computer on. Turn your phone off. You won't know anything's going on. You ever done it? When's the last time you did that? Turn the phone off. Slept in late. When you got up, you didn't rush right to the phone or the computer and turn it on to see what the hell was happening. When's the last time you did it? Seriously. Be serious. Honestly.
Clinton administration.
Okay, it's been a while. I bet you everybody in this room, you couldn't even tell me the last, you mean, like, no electronics?
Clinton administration.
Like, when I wake up, like, none? Like, no computer, no phone? Like, I can't look at anything? Don't turn the TV on, nothing. You'd be hard-pressed to figure
it out. You look
at
their faces, they're like, what?
Like, EP's going, he didn't even think that was possible. I think the law says I have to turn the phone on and keep it by my bed, so I keep checking it every hour when I wake up to go take a leak. I got to go look. Oh, I got to press it. Oh, did anybody call me at 3:30 in the morning? And you all know you do it, too. Because you know why? Because I do it like an idiot.
Send me a Facebook post.
John, I actually check it at 4:30 just in case anybody's calling me. Might be a booty call in there somewhere. I better check.
Hey, now.
9 o'clock hour. Brian Blessing's coming up. 248-848-1130. Sports Night with Parker and Man. Detroit's 1130. WDFN The Fan.
What did he say?
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.